Welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. If you've been following along for the past few weeks, you know, episode 100, Scott and I committed to a weekly podcast. And I was like, I'm still technically on track, but I've been fighting to stay on track. And it was funny because the other day, Scott was like, you got to put out a podcast this week because you're already like pushing almost kind of like barely squeezing them in. And I was like, well, I don't have a guest lined up and I don't have any time to line up a guest. So would you like to join again? So Scott Neary returns as a guest for episode 102, which you are about to hear. And I wanted to jump in real quick right before we roll our episode and let you know, just so you know what's going on with my audio. I had a little bit of a microphone issue, and that microphone issue was me not turning my microphone on. So we were using some backup audio for myself, which was going through a computer speaker instead of a proper microphone. So apologies for that, but Scott's audio is awesome. There's just a lot of really great content in here. So I was like, we can't re-record it. Let's rock it through. But I wanted to let you know that I'm aware of how much of an idiot I am to not get the audio right. But in true Just Go and Between Dreams fashion, you got to keep moving and keep getting the stuff out there. So enjoy episode 102. This is my more of a chat with Scott Neary. We didn't last long into the new year, and Scott Neary is back. The fastest return of a guest back to the show. The guest host of episode 100, and now the guest of episode 102. So, as Mike Kaplan said in his episode, he returns every 50 episodes. Scott Neary returns every 2 episodes.
Yeah.
He didn't know he signed up for that, but he did.
It's my fault for pressuring you.
It's your fault. So for context of that, it's your fault because in episode 100, I said, I'm going to commit because I was mad that I don't commit to being consistent with the episodes. And I said, I'm going to commit to once a week and whatever it takes to do it. And earlier this week, or like I was all like by episode 2, I was like behind, but I was like still kind of within the threshold. I was like, I was like a week and a half, but I was still kind of within that week window. You're like, you got to put it out. And I was like, it's already recorded. And I stayed up late that night and I posted it. And then this week you were like, you got to do 2 this week though, because then you're going to be behind. So I was like, all right, it's Friday right now that we're recording this, and this is going to get posted tonight. So I was like, all right, well, I don't have a guest lined up this week. So I was like, you're back.
Cool.
So here it is, and I'm excited because I think there's a few things that we were chatting about in episode 100 that felt like we could even just like a little bit more casually dance around, and I didn't really get to ask you very much as you were interviewing me. I didn't get a chance to ask you some of the things that I was particularly interested in, some of the things that you've been working on. And I wanted to open up with exactly that. So you have been seeking out entertainers and artists and performers and people in general who are not looking for the excuses of why they can't do things, but looking for opportunities of what's possible and what can they invent and what new things can they create in the whatever circumstances are currently going on. And you've been interviewing these people, and I've been catching up on them, and it's just so inspiring to see how many people are doing stuff like VR performances and stuff. And I'm like, I don't even understand what this is. And I'm like kind of into cameras and tech and like the internet-y things. And I'm like, whoa, this is blowing my mind because I didn't even know that this was going on or that it was possible. So, and maybe we'll start with that one. What's been like the biggest mind-boggling thing for you as you've been talking to these people of something that even you were, you know, it's like between the two of us, we kind of have seen a lot of entertainment. We've been in a lot of different shows. And so we've seen like all of the
we've seen a lot of what's going on. So when something is really like amazing, it's like I'm so happy when something like blows my mind or is amazing, and I'm like, oh, I can be excited about that again. Is there anything that stands out to you that's just that you're just like, whoa, that's amazing? It's not the same old tired thing that kind of a lot of people are doing.
Yeah. What I'm like, what I've been surprised by, I think, is that the sameness, like finding these things that are the same and that are repeating over and over again for me. Like what you just said about me trying to find these people that are doing something incredible under the circumstances, that's kind of a repeat of what Booby Trap was, the show that I produced live. It was, I wanted to share people doing exceptional things and pushing beyond. And like for a lot of performers and entertainers, doing 4 minutes that are solid and powerful on stage that can change a room, that's very hard to do under the circumstances that we were under a year ago. It's very difficult to do. And now I'm getting, like, I just kind of realized today that I'm getting to share these people that are doing stuff under the current circumstances and share that same joy, that same inspiration, and that same, it's not exceptionalism of like an individual, it's exceptionalism of the attempt. You know, it's not that these people are special, but that what they've done is special and that we're all capable of doing something special. I'm like, I've always been pumped about like seeing an athlete that can do something incredible or whatever, and the feeling it gives you of the feeling it gives me of being that I can, that there's more possible than I thought. So that's been, that's like a repeating theme that's been kind of amazing to me. And then the way that, another thing throughout the year of talking to people that are succeeding, figuring out new ways for other people to succeed and coaching and consulting entertainers, as how much it's changed me and it's changed how I look at entertainment, because it was kind of just, I mean, I had deep theories about how entertainment works and stuff, but, and how to be funnier and how to be more engaging and stuff like that. But I started, finding more power in empathy, more power in listening to people, finding out what they're really going through and what they really need, and seeing how that empowers me every single time. So like, if I think about what I do and I try to do a good job, I get blocked up. I get, kind of frozen thinking about like, oh, what if I mess up, all that stuff. But when I think about somebody else, just with stage fright, if I think about, oh, this audience really needs me, I got to get out there and help them, that gives me like a big wind, pushes me onto stage. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm like liberated and able to flow and create. And that's what I've taken into every aspect, that kind of generosity and empathy I've taken into every aspect of entertainment.
So it's like you really landed on having a mission and having a purpose, because a lot of times, and this is speaking directly to entertainers and, you know, people who are doing artistic and creative fields, and so often because of rejection and, you know, just like trying to innovate, it's like you get doors slammed in your face every day. And it can be like really easy to fall into a world of saying to yourself, well, why bother? If everything I try is just going to not work, which is like pretty much how it goes, especially at the beginning, but also always, it's like kind of what you're signing up for. Like, yeah, you didn't sign up for the easy thing, but so like if it's hard and you don't have that underlying drive of a mission or a purpose for what you're doing, it's going to be really easy to be like, I don't feel like doing this anymore, which is relevant to how we opened this. For me, doing the podcast, I'm like, I don't feel like doing it every week because it's a ton of work. It takes like two days of work every week to do an episode between scheduling and editing and posting and lining up the guests and all of that. And then when I get messages like John this week sent a thing and he was like, I've been listening to your podcast basically since the beginning. And he's like, I've always wanted to start a podcast and I couldn't. He sent me a message. He was like, I couldn't figure out like exactly what to do, like what, where, how to make it mine. And he was like, there's something about the 100th episode. And he like started it. He like made a title and he's like, it actually pushed him over that bump, that speed bump. And it like wasn't, you know, from the distance, he saw that speed bump as a mountain. And then once he was just like, oh, I just got to go over it. And then he was just like, because he like, it became clear what his message and what his mission was. And then for me, hearing that, I'm like, I got to post a pot. Like, it's like actually working. And it's like, yeah. There's so often when I'm sitting here at 2 o'clock in the morning, editing audio and putting captions on a video, I'm like, what am I doing? Like everyone else is sleeping and like go or watching, you know, a show or something or listening to a podcast, you know, it's a lot of people. And it's like just having that feedback from people is just amazing. And giving that, having that thing of, and I talked about this often behind the curtain at a theater show, most of the time you're like, I don't want to do this. And once you're out there, it's great. But like right before you're like, why do I keep doing this? And then looking out at them and seeing people excited about the show. And now with virtual shows, doing the behind the scenes tech for Vinny DePonto's show. And it's like, I can see the front row. We have a virtual front row and we can kind of like see them the whole show and seeing people sitting at home in their bedroom or in their living room, like applauding and laughing out loud. And it's like, oh, this, like, it gives you that drive and that mission to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like people, I encourage people to create a mission statement for themselves or a vision statement for themselves, not to put a lot of work into it, just to kind of think through what they're doing, look up different versions of businesses, mission statements and vision statements and put something together. It feels like it's putting a lot of pressure on myself to do it, but it's really just a clarifying thing that really helps to drive throughout. It's about coming up with something that is just a clear general thing that is going to be a little reminder for me every single day of why I'm doing it throughout my whole life. Something that I'm building to, like, so even if this project fails, it fails the exact mission of the project, that project builds onto my mission. Oh, I know that project failed and I might not know every reason why, but the skills that I built in that project are not wasted. That whole project hasn't gone away because I have those skills. I have that education. I have those resources and I could take it on to keep fighting for my mission. And that's like super good for the doldrums. And then, and I also encourage people, it's going to be pretty straightforward. Your mission is going to be helping people. It's going to be something generous for other people. And every great creator is doing the same thing. They're all trying to help people with something. They might be trying to make something that's going to make a conservative and a liberal laugh at the same time together and find some common ground. They might want to connect people around the world with each other. They might want to inspire a childlike wonder. All those different kinds of, those are very simple, straightforward mission statements that people have. And I think that a thing that's been amazing for me in the past year with all this examination has been taking that generosity and thinking about money with it, because I was always, if somebody asked me if I was generous with money, I would say yes, too generous. I would do a lot of work that for low rates, and I would I didn't really like to negotiate with people for jobs. I didn't like to talk about money or try to figure out how to make money, and I would have considered myself bad with money. As I learned to turn this generosity toward every aspect of my life, I learned that getting money for work is generous. It's a way to add value to somebody's experience. Like paying for a fancy meal is a special occasion, and paying for a cheap meal is unspecial.
So how does that, and everyone has heard that, you know, oh, create more value and charge more so that you can do better work. And mm-hmm. it's an easy thing to conceptually understand, but it's a really hard thing for a lot of people to take into action. Then when someone calls that you want to do a gig for, or you want to do a piece of art for, or you want to do a video for, and they're like, oh, well, I only have this much budget. And they're like, oh, and entertainers and artists and creatives inherently are people pleasers. They want to be helpful to people. And it feels like the biggest way that I could be helpful to somebody is to say yes and work with them to make this project or whatever work. So how did that change for you? You kind of glance over, you're like, and it changed. And now I see the value in, you know, charging proper rates so that I can deliver an experience. How did that, like, what made that? Because it's not just just change my mind and flip the switch. That's a process. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, I think part of it was I'm a father. I have a baby that happened in April. The baby happened, you know, that's how you describe a birthday.
Where'd that come from?
and that forced me a little bit out of my comfort zone to take bigger steps.
Another mission and, you know, a purpose, like going back into the other thing. And I was like, boom, now you like, that's one heck of a mission and a purpose and something to be fighting for.
Yeah. And then when, like, it's kind of cool to be in this like free fall mode of like just trying, everything's wild and I don't understand the mile markers of whether I'm making progress or not because I don't recognize anything around me. So I had this like real, I'm not completely back from it, a real like identity, people would call it a crisis. I didn't think of it as a crisis, but it was a loss of identity. It was like my identity and my ego and the things that I used to care about or the things that I used to hold on to so strongly, they all kind of like were just like pulverized. And I was like, there was a time period where I was trying to keep up and I'm like, I'm exhausted and I got this baby that's waking up every hour and a half. And so the sleep that I held on to, like trying to stay sharp in my brain, which I held on to so much, the like, ideas of myself and my personal time and my pleasures and stuff like that all kind of were gone. And so I was kind of lost in that. So it gave me an opportunity to set up new rules for what I want. And then at the same time, I started coaching and consulting people in order to make money. And I started following these different mentors telling me how to make money by doing this. And I hated that side of it. I really hated the idea of trying to make money off of entertainment people. But then every call that I made with people, every single time that I started talking to them, it was emotional. I cried with some people that I didn't know very well on Zoom calls, like talking to them about what's most important to them, what they've been struggling with, what talking to them about depression and talking to them about goals, talking to them about unfulfilled dreams and how they're not able to make the impact that they want, or they don't have the fan base, or they've never really thought about how valuable they are. I started like having these just amazing moments with all these people who really cared about entertainment. And I was affecting them. They were affecting me and I was affecting them. And when I started seeing it in other people, I started seeing people not valuing themselves. I started seeing that people were afraid to ask for money for something that was awesome that they were doing for other people. Like if you see your friend trying to sell his car for $50, you go, dude, come on. No, you don't have to sell your car for 50. I know it's been hard to sell your car, but don't sell it for $50.
Because you want to go to the grocery store tonight and you only need $50.
Doesn't
mean that the value of the thing that you want to give only needs to cover you for today.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great topper to that analogy. They wanted to solve the problem. They didn't want to deal with it. They didn't want to deal with understanding their value, and they didn't want to deal with going through that hard thing of processing it. And they were afraid about what they would find, I think. And I saw that in so many people, and I started looking at myself, and I wanted to practice what I preached, but I also wanted to understand where this is coming from. Because it's really like neglectful of self. It's not about squeezing more money out of people. It's about just appreciating the amazing things that we do. And so then you and I got on online and on Facebook, and we got into a bunch of conversations with people who were like diminishing art, diminishing the importance of art, and diminishing the importance of creativity, and diminishing themselves. It's a mindset of like, artists are meant to be starving. Artists are charities. Artists only have the value of the money that you decide to give them. Instead of like, people are changing people's lives. People are affecting people. People are creating things that we need in society. And we both hate when that stuff is diminished like that.
Yeah. And that's an interesting idea of that, of like, it wasn't like people coming in and being like, oh, artists are stupid and don't, you know, and it was like, I think a lot clearer for a certain people, like you and I saw exactly what was going on in some of these like Facebook conversations, and we were like fighting for them. And then people became defensive as like we were like the enemy of like, and you know, our big argument of it, I don't go into it completely, but I think it's like really relevant. You know, one of our like core things is like, hey, if you want to give somebody something that you want money in return for, like your only job is to make it really, really easy for them to say, yes, I want to give you money for this. And I want to, as much money as I can give you, I want more of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I love kombucha. It's kombucha's job to taste good and like make me feel better and not have too much sugar in it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, they don't need to do anything else to like please me. You know, they don't, like, their job is to make me want more. And I'm willing to pay $3 every time I go to the grocery store so that I can buy a bottle of kombucha. Like, I'm excited. Right. I'm like, yes, I'll give you. Sometimes I get the big bottle. It's $9 and it lasts me like a couple days. I'm like, yeah, make an even bigger bottle. I'll probably buy that, you know, and it's like so simple. And I'm not sure where that plays into. There's so many emotions that are underlying, especially with artists and creative people. And it's like people were arguing that. It's like, well, yeah, but there's bigger things at play. I'm like, no, yeah, of course. Like economic systems have bigger things at play, of course. And it was like, it got frustrating to me of like, I'm like, no, it's like really simple. Like, if you want to ask people for money, like make something that they want to pay for and then provide it.
Right.
It was mind-boggling to me that people were arguing like, oh, yeah, but what about this thing that was like not relevant. And I think it was kind of, as you were saying, they were diminishing just like overall. I think they just were, I think some people often are just like not, and doubling down here on another thing that I wanted to hit on, you said before, of getting lost in, you kind of lost yourself, as you kind of say, like you lost your thing. And then that's where it was like, oh, cool. Like, you know, and I don't want to say rock bottom because it's like a harsh thing, and not adding that to you, but like for a lot of people, it's like, boom, rock bottom. I got nothing to lose. I don't know what to do next. So I got to start on something. It forces people to just be like, I don't know, I'm going to try this. So right. I think if people can get into that mindset of like, oh, it doesn't matter. One of my big things is like, nobody cares. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can trick yourself into being into that mindset of rock bottom, I've got nothing to lose. And you'll end up trying stuff like, oh, I don't know, I'll start a podcast. It's like, right. I got nothing to lose. And not in the way of like, I got nothing to lose with my life, but like, I've got nothing also to lose with like starting a podcast or doing this piece of art or whatever it is. And I think that like that idea of getting lost, really, when you said it a little while ago, you kind of glanced over that as well. But that kind of really resonated with me of like, oh, what if we kind of live in that mindset of like, yeah, I kind of just got lost. It, I don't know. So who cares? Do something.
Yeah.
You know, make something, try this to go over here and not be like all over the place all the time. But in those moments when you like want to connect, you say, yeah, try this. Oh, go over here. And then full circle in that, I wanted to kind of hit on one of the things we talked about that resonated with several people in that past episode was thinking inside the box. Like you could still be inside the box, but instead of the box having a lid on it and it being this three-dimensional cube, think of it as a square on the ground. You get to play in that square. And as you expand, you can expand infinitely up out of it, but you still stay in your world. So like packaging your mission statement, your drive and what's important to you can be in that box, but it's just a square drawn on the ground that doesn't limit you. People are like, yeah, but what if I want to do something different what if I want to do something different down the road? Like, yeah, you can play in your mission statement and it can expand infinitely up. A quick example is like Nata, the circus performer, the booby trap people will know her. You know, brilliant circus performer, like amazing. Also like on the side, like a world-class artist, you know, with painting and digital art. And now that she's not doing so much live performance, obviously, she's like bringing her art to life in tattoo form. And it was like that. And it's like now it's like using all of those things. It's like, yes, she's still in her square, but it that probably wouldn't have been in her original box if she put it into a cube, like tattooing, right. Using her art to tattoo people. But now that's something that she can do. She can bring her art to life via tattoos. And I thought that was super cool. And then, so circle it back to you, Mike Kaplan, somebody who is like infinitely creative, but he's committed to his square of just like being cleverly funny. And just everything he says, you're just like, how did you think of that? There's no way that your brain can just always be firing into like these clever, creative things. And you had a conversation with him. Do you have anything that resonated particularly in we went all around that, and I think it like hit on all these core things that were super important. And I wanted to circle it back because I think, you know, Mike Kaplan is a great example, and it calls back to our previous episode of him just like, he has a clear mission. He's gonna create funny moments with everyone he interacts with, no matter what. And he kind of told me that. It's like in an email, when you see him, when he's on stage, it's like, boom, that's what you're going to get. And it's awesome. Anything with him or any of those things that particularly?
Yeah, Mike is, a thing that was fascinating to me about Mike was I was going to write a blog about specialization and just kind of like what I observed from seeing Mike and his in different moments. And then I thought, well, why don't I just talk to him and figure out and ask him what it's like to specialize like he does. And a thing that surprised me is that he is, he's also very multi-skilled, and he learns a lot of things and he's fascinated by a lot of things, and he tries creating a bunch of different things. But, and so I think of myself from the inside, I think of myself as kind of like wandering around and learning all these different skills and kind of, being a polymath person who is not specialized enough. When I'm self-hating, I'm not specialized enough to like, to actually pursue success in any one thing. That's something that I tell myself. And, it's not true at all. Like all the things that I've built are amazing and they've all helped people in different ways. And now I'm able to use all those skills together in one thing as a consultant. But, anyway, he has all these fascinations also. And it's just a little bit, he just turns up the limiter a little bit. He just says no a little bit more to blowing his energy on this thing or that thing so that he can still play around with different things. But he's the funny guy and he's dedicated to it. And I think the reason that he can come up, he has a hardworking brain and he's very cerebral and he has a background that makes him that way. But he's also, the reason that he can be funny all the time is because he is not spending a bunch of energy in a bunch of different directions. That's the thing that he's spending his energy on. And when it comes up, like when something comes up, I think in his brain of like, with this next statement, do I establish status or do I establish that I'm funny? I establish that I'm funny. Do I try to be clever or funny? I want to be funny. Do I try to be, you know, do I try to look good or be funny? Do I try to whatever? It's those kind of, we're making a million of those choices when we're having a conversation and he's making the choice most of the time to be funny. And I'd say probably compassionate is his second or first choice is compassionate and then funny.
Yeah. Which that's like, it's sparks like in my brain were going off of in that moment, he had a decision to make. In everything that we do, we have this decision to make. Like it's a thing like on stage. It's easy on stage to know what decisions to make. Like you, like on Booby Trap or whatever, when you're performing or when I'm performing, it's like, I kind of know what decisions I want to make.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty clear. I don't need to think about it very much. Like I'm not going to like be angry at somebody in the audience.
Right.
Like that's just not one of the multiple choice options.
Right.
Like it's just not in the world that when I'm doing a juggling show that I could be like irritated with an audience member or visibly irritated.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything that's firing is, oh, this person in the audience might be a pain in the ass and they're like, keep talking or something. So how do I spin that to make them like look like the hero or why are they doing that? So that I can, you know, it's like, and I have things to pull off the shelf. You know, you can do something funny with them. You can give them more attention. You can give them less attention. You know, there's things that you can do, but in that guiding principle of what's the outcome, like the decision of this is it has to be a fun and entertaining show, which combos perfectly into, again, like circling back, this is becoming the theme. Once you have your mission, what's driving you, which direction, like which lane are you driving in? It becomes really clear that's the lane that you're driving in. And I feel like we talked something about it within the previous thing. And it's like sparking another idea of this. It's like going to the beach or like going to a specific beach, going to Santa Monica Pier. It's like I know exactly what that is. I'm going to go to Santa Monica Pier. I know what's going to be like there. I know the sun's going to be shining. I know where the sun's going to set. That's where I want the photo taken. But I can ride my bike there. I can skateboard there. I can get in a car and I can drive on the freeway. I can drive on the back roads. You know, I can go up north and come down on the highway that way if I want. You know, it's like, so we have that freedom to make all of those different choices. But this mission is like, I'm going to get a badass sunset photo at Santa Monica Pier. And then once you're guided by that principle, like, you're never going to be driving towards Santa Clarita.
Right.
Like, you're just not, but that's not one of your options. Like, you're not going to go up that way. You're going to go down to the beach, you know, and it's like, that's a really cool picture for me of like, and it's so something that I think I struggle with too, of like, cause I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing this. I'm like focusing on a lot of things, but it's like, and that's what Between Dreams was kind of created to see if I could like, yeah, I could do podcasts and music things and live performances and make t-shirts and make hats and, you know, do all of these things. But like, can I actually turn all of those things? Can all of those, can to complete the story here, can all of those things simply be different rides that are at Santa Monica Pier? So yeah, the Ferris wheel and the thing and then the street performers and then the ocean waves, you know, those are all parts of the package that are completely crazy and different. But they end up being the package. And I think that is super, super helpful for people to see and hear. Yeah, you don't need to be a stand-up comedian who only does this. You can bring that into everything that you do, being funny or being clever or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, I think the another thing about the mission is the expansiveness of it. If I come up with a good mission statement, which is like, let's say it's to elevate entertainment for the world, exhaust my time and energy, make elevating entertainment for the world, which is pretty much my mission statement. That means that there is no, I never arrive at the beach. I'm just heading for the beach, and everything that I do on the way there is awesome. So it's like, I don't know, the beach thing is a destination. There is no destination. There's only, can I do it more? Can I do it bigger? Elevating entertainment for the world. If I'm an entertainer, then I can push and push and push and make my entertainment better to raise the bar for everybody else. Then I can produce a show which raises the bar and sets a certain expectation. People have to be so good to be in it. Then I can be a teacher and I can teach other great entertainers how to take their stuff to the next level. Then I can create an environment of transparency where everybody's communicating more and has the ability to lift each other up. Then I can create a multi-branch production company that feeds great, changes the economy of entertainment so that all the power and resources are going to the best entertainers so they can get better and so everybody else wants to be them. And I can codify entertainment and help to describe it so that other people can learn from a simpler, like a recipe book for better entertainment. So all of a sudden I'm not a juggler, just a juggler. I'm making some bigger and bigger impact. And every time I get to, I achieve something, then I see, oh man, I'm not doing enough. I'm elevating entertainment right now, and that's great. And I feel satisfied and successful. And that's fuel for me to do the thing that's even better, double the achievement in that mission.
Yeah. You don't go to the beach just once.
Yeah.
You go, and then you're like, I can't wait to come back and do something even, you know, get an even cooler photo or ride that ride again. Yeah. It's like, there's a destination of going to the beach, but it's not like you'd go once and you don't do one show when you don't learn how to do a juggling show, do it and then say, cool, I did that. And then, you know, so that's what I was thinking of that. I was like, yeah, he's like, okay, now it's like, okay, well now keep that building. It's just building.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes when people are getting started, they think, okay, so I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. And I'm going to get on the Tonight Show. And from what I've read, if I do that right, it's going to take me 6 years to do that if I'm dedicated to it. So I will, that's the end. That's where it is. I'm going to get on the Tonight Show because I'm a comedian. And if your mission is that, then it's pretty lame. And it's probably, that's probably not why you got into it in the first place. That's not, I didn't get into it because I wanted to be funny and famous or funny and on TV. I got into it because I saw somebody changing an audience and I wanted to do that. I watched 30 minutes of stand-up and I felt like I went through 2 years of therapy. I want to share that with people. So then when that becomes the mission, then we realize I can't wait to get started. I cannot wait another day. I'm not going to say like, okay, it's going to take 6 years, so I'm going to start when I'm 45 and I'll be on the Tonight Show when I'm 51 and I'm okay. No, you're going to die before you're done with your mission. So you like, we got to get started now and see what else we can achieve, because that mission is going to keep on showing us new opportunities to do amazing things. And it's exciting and it's nonstop and it's going to keep unfolding with new things that are exciting to us. And new ways to tap into our heart and what we care about so that we can keep on making stuff.
I love that. And that's, it almost feels like a crazy heart. It's like, yeah, like you don't have enough time to get there, but it's like, you can be going in the right direction. It's like, yeah, like, of course we will, because it's a constant thing. And I think that like doesn't need to be depressing either, of like, oh, why bother if I'm never going to get there? Well, getting closer is a good thing. It's like, reminds me of your thing, of your show idea of standing, that your take on standing on the shoulders of giants. But we'll leave that for two episodes from now. We'll get into that.
I'll see you in 3 days.
Yes. But it's so good thinking about that, of like, yeah, like it's not wasting time. Progress isn't wasting time. It's getting closer, and that's awesome. And what you're helping a lot of entertainers and creators and artists get a little bit closer to that idea of where they want to be. And offering a lot of content. So the interviews are now, thanks to me, pushing you and forcing you to post them. The interviews are now on podcast audio platforms. So people that are listening to this will be familiar with that. And then if people want to dig a little bit more into finding about how you're helping people, where can they find more about your writings and videos and audio?
Yeah, the way I'm helping people and the way I'm finding more impact in my the coaching that I'm doing, people can contact me. They can go to scott.fun, scott1t.fun, and find out more about what I do and send me an email. And I'll talk to you about whether I can coach and consult you. But it's really cool for me. Like, it really makes me feel useful to be able to help people, because like, One guy that I was working with, he set up a production company, a video production company, and he sent me like a reel of the work that he was doing. And it was like, it was funny and fun. It was like 4 minutes long and it had like good jokes in it and stuff. And I was like, no, you're not going to make this reel with, that's going to be funny and fun. This is what the reel is. You're flipping through clips. The music is pumping. And then all of a sudden it just stops. And you're like, hello? And then this celebrity comes in, because he's shot all these celebrities. This celebrity comes in and just sings like one word that you know what that song is. And then this celebrity comes in and says, hey. And then this celebrity comes in and says, what was that? And then, and then your logo comes on. And the next day he sent me the reel that was that. It was exactly that. I was like, this is just like, And it all came together of like me knowing that this is not about, I knew who his clients were. I knew what he was trying to sell. I knew the value of what he had to present. I knew what footage he had. I knew what he was capable of with editing. I knew what I was capable of with editing. I knew what caught my attention and what catches viewers' attention. All this stuff from my history. I knew who I was going to send it to in my network. I had a network. So like all these things came together for me and I was able to just tell him what to do. He did it for himself and sent it back to me. Meanwhile, I'm coaching all these other people throughout the day. And I just like had the ability to make an impact on all these great things and get him more work, which makes more great things in the world. So it's been like super fulfilling for me to do this stuff. And yeah, I don't have a program set up or anything. I just, connect with people. People can talk to me, ask me questions, and I will help to make stuff better if you're doing good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming back on yet again.
Yeah, man.
And
hit rock bottom, you guys.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to choose where their rock bottom is.
Yeah. That doesn't need to be a bad thing. It's always rock bottom could be like, oh, I don't want to do this the way that I did my day today, tomorrow. That could be rock bottom. And like, please, I'm going to do a little bit. I'm going to spend an hour tomorrow making it better.
Yeah. There are alcoholics that quit. There are alcoholics that quit because they have one DUI. There are alcoholics that quit because they're in jail, beaten up, and they have their house taken away and they're divorced and all this other stuff. You know, even doesn't seem like rock bottom is a choice. It is a choice. So
yeah. Or
everybody has to make it.
To double down on that even less of because they didn't feel good one day. And they're like, I don't want to not feel good in the morning. You know, it doesn't need to be like life, end of your life. Terrible things to start over, to try something new, to make today or tomorrow just a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking more about that responsibility thing. Like people don't want to step up and take the responsibility for a lot of stuff. And that's what it takes. The responsibility to, this is my rock bottom. I'm going to change now. Or the responsibility of, this show's not going to get made if I don't make it.
So awesome. Thanks for contributing to that whole world of making today and tomorrow a little bit better.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and other episodes of the Between Dreams podcast, you can really help out by following or subscribing to the show on whatever platform you listen to, Spotify, iTunes, or whatever podcast player app you use. Most of them will let you hit the subscribe or follow button, which will allow you to be the first to know when new episodes are landing. Additionally, if the podcast platform allows ratings and reviews, those are super helpful for us and shows new listeners what to expect from the show and to see if they might be interested and valuable to them. Finally, if this episode or other episodes feel like something that you might want to share with someone because they'll find value in it, that's really, really helpful for us as well so that we can continue to connect and inspire more people to get out there and make their ideas happen. So thank you so much for listening. See you next time.